I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We have some breaking news for you. A federal jury in Mississippi has convicted James Ford Seal of kidnapping and conspiracy. The alleged Klansman was charged in the 1964 deaths of two black teenagers. Their bodies were discovered only because authorities were searching for three civil rights activists who had disappeared in what became known as the Mississippi burning case. Now to the Middle East. The militant Islamic group Hamas has seized control of the Gaza Strip, where Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has declared a state of emergency. The U.S., European states, and Israel are considering steps to shore up Abbas on the West Bank, where Abbas's Fatah group remains in control. Here in our studio to talk about these recent developments is Clayton Swisher, Director of Programs at the Middle East Institute in Washington. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us from member station WEMU in Ypsilanti, Michigan, is Osama Siblani, the publisher and editor-in-chief of Arab American News, a bilingual newspaper in Detroit. Thank you also for joining us.
Good to be here.
Mr. Swisher, if you would start, what precipitated this power struggle?
Well, to review a long history in a short period of time, Fatah has been the dominant Palestinian political party. If there was one thing Yasser Arafat succeeded in doing, it was consolidating all rivals and having one umbrella group that was secular. And for many years, Fatah leaded under Yasser Arafat's control until his death in 2004. Now, you'll recall recent history in 2000, after the failed Camp David summit in July of 2000, which I wrote a book on. The United States and international community blamed Fatah and Arafat personally for the result, the disaster of the peace process and the lack of a Palestinian state. Now, for Palestinians, Fatah proved that it couldn't deliver. For whatever reason, there was more settlements built when Fatah was in power. There was less of a chance of having East Jerusalem as a capital. The refugees had less hope of returning home to his state. And all this happened on Fatah's watch. And Arafat, after his death, there was not a strong leader that succeeded him. And Hamas, meanwhile, had grown in popularity because from day one they'd already said that resistance was the way to liberation, that the Israelis and the Americans weren't serious in their negotiations. And events on the ground proved that, particularly with the settlements. And so Hamas rose in power. Abu Mazen did not challenge them adequately. The United States, true to form, thought that it could meddle in internal regional politics, channel money and weapons to the Fatah security services, while meanwhile Syria and Iran channeled money and weapons to Hamas. And what you had was more clout for Hamas on the ground, them winning in the elections, which I participated in as a monitor. In part, it wasn't so much a Hamas victory as it was a defeat for Fatah, because they just, all throughout these years, had just not been able to deliver on liberation.
Okay, Mr. Siblani, but why now?
Well, because Fatah is so weak, and because this reflects also the war by proxy that is being fought right now between Fatah and Hamas. And I do agree with everything that your guest mentioned. The only one more factor that I would add is that Fatah has had a lot of problem with corruption, and that's why you see how easy it was to take over Gaza by Hamas. Because the people are sick and tired of Fatah and its rulers and the leadership of Fatah. It's very, very weak. It's corrupted. And also, the leadership of Fatah has been undermined by U.S. policy and by Israeli intransigence for peace. And since 1993, since the Oslo Accord, Fatah could not deliver anything to the Palestinians. All what they have delivered is more concessions to the Israelis. And this is how Hamas was able to rise to the power in the last election and then take hold of the government.
Okay, but Clayton Swisher, two years ago you wrote an opinion piece predicting this, but I have to ask again, why now? As you and Mr. Siblani also mentioned, elections were held. Hamas did capture a majority of the seats for the for governance of the authority, even though Fatah continued to control the presidency. So they had effective control of kind of the levers of government. So why is this armed conflict happening now?
The Mecca agreement that was brokered back in January 2007, a few months ago, is breaking down because outside actors want Hamas to fail. A successful Hamas in government means a successful Muslim Brotherhood, because they're an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood movement throughout the region. The fact of the matter is, if there was free and fair elections throughout the Middle East, Muslim Brotherhood would win. And so you have Arab governments that are hoping that Hamas will fail. They're helping the Americans channel support to Fatah. And Fatah took advantage of this. They see Mohammed Dahlan, the head of the Palestinian Security Services, in Gaza. He's in Cairo right now recuperating from knee surgery. He's left the country. There's weak Fatah security services in Gaza. They sensed that Americans were channeling in all this weapons. And for God's sakes, Abu Mazen appealed to the Israelis, the occupier, a few weeks ago to let in forces, Palestinian forces being trained in Egypt. Arafat would have never asked the Americans and Israelis for help. And so this just discredits him further in Palestinian eyes. And Hamas capitalized on that in this weak moment.
Okay. Mr. Sibilani, I know it's very difficult at a distance, but how do you feel the regular people are reacting to this fighting? Clearly it's very traumatic. There are, casualties are to be expected. Sure. But what do you think the view is on the ground of these recent developments in Gaza?
I think people are sick and tired of fighting, that's for sure. And they want a settlement. They want somehow the leadership of the Palestinian people make a settlement for peace with Israel. However, they know that this is not going to happen with the Fatah leadership because they have tried it in 1993. They've become very weak, corrupt, and they're not able to deliver. And that's why they voted for Hamas. And I think that they believe people in the occupied territory, they believe only a strong Palestinian government can negotiate with Israel. Now, I wanted to go back to the previous question, if you don't mind,
sure,
and answer the question, why now? I think that the Iranian and the Americans are ready to go to round two of negotiation in Iraq. And even though both they say that we're only talking about Iraq, they're talking about the rest of the region, including the nuclear problem with Iran. And I think Iran is trying to strengthen its position, and the United States is trying to strengthen its position in Lebanon, in Palestine, and also in Iraq for negotiation and future negotiation between them in Iraq that's coming up, I think, in this month or next month.
What does that mean? Are you saying that Iran is funneling arms to Hamas and the U.S. is funneling arms to Fatah? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Yes, absolutely. That the Iranians believe that that more control of Hamas in the occupied territory, particularly in Gaza, will give them more bargaining power through negotiation with the Americans when they meet in Iraq again.
Clayton Swisher, do you agree with that?
In part. Look, it's the same relationship similarly with Hezbollah. Iran has support for, but they don't have effective control of the organization Hamas. They're not calling them and saying, today do this. Even the leadership in Damascus, several of them I've met, they really delegate a lot. People would find that surprising to the local people in the Gaza Strip. But, you know, it just gets back to this why is Fatah so weak? I recall a few years ago interviewing Dahlan in his offices in the Gaza Strip, and he was telling me about how during the Oslo period, you know, we were fighting, this is what he said, we Palestinians, Fatah, were fighting terrorists by night alongside the Israeli security services. And by daytime, we saw the bulldozers of Israel leveling our homes. This discredits us. It makes us, it makes us not want to cooperate. How can we end incitement in Palestine when they're destroying our homes and seizing our land? You know, and moreover, this U.S.-Israeli international community policy of economic strangulation of the Palestinian Authority, which includes not only Fatah but Hamas, is very much discredited the whole idea of democracy. Basically, if Palestinians don't elect a party that the United States and Israel deem a suitable partner, a partner that will capitulate to their demands, then they're just going to punish and starve the people. In the Gaza Strip, there's kids that have the hair missing because they're so malnourished.
Well, now the U.S. and Europe, the European Union and Israel are apparently discussing rapidly easing sanctions in the West Bank in order to shore up the Abbas government. Do you think that that is likely, and do you think that that would be effective?
I think it is likely because that's how desperate the administration is to appease people in the region in the wake of our unpopularity in Iraq. But Michelle, I tell you, it's a day late and a dollar short. It's not going to help. It's the same when I was there during the elections. They sent $20 million to help boost Fatah at the last minute because it looked like Abu Mazen and Fatah was going to lose in the elections, and they bought girls' soccer jerseys and planted flowers, and this was done in the name of Fatah, and it was revealed that it was American money, and it just further discredited him.
And what would be effective?
It would be effective. Let's not beat around the bush. There's no Israeli partner right now for peace. And the United States needs to say, okay, Israel, you don't want to give the Palestinians a state. We're going to walk from this, and you're going to have to deal with it. And sooner or later, if you don't embrace the Arab Peace Initiative, you're going to find the global jihad that's spreading now to Lebanon at your doorstep, and you'll be encircled by radicals who don't give a damn about a two-state solution.
Mr. Sibilani, what about you?
I truly believe that the United States in here is the failing person or the failing policy that has led to all of this control by Hamas, undermining Yasser Arafat. Many people in the region believe that Yasser Arafat was even assassinated by the Israelis when he was in 2004, when he was in jail for a couple of years.
I'm sorry, do you believe that?
Do I believe that? No, yeah. I think many people in the region believe that.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And many Palestinians believe that. So they have undermined Yasser Arafat. They have undermined Fatah. The foreign policy towards the Palestinians have really pushed Hamas to the forefront. They've made Hamas win the election. They handed Hamas a win, and now Hamas is taking over. And if they don't deal with Hamas right now, they will be facing the challenge of Islamic Jihad and more extremists.
Mr. Sablani, we're down to our last couple of seconds. I just want to ask you briefly, if you can, whether Hamas loses any moral authority by taking up arms in this way when they already had effective governmental control of Gaza.
I think that both of them are losing right now. It's going to be up to Hamas to have an agenda that will bring stability to Gaza and also to have an agenda of how to negotiate with Israel for a long-lasting peace.
All right. Thank you. We're joined by Osama Sablani, publisher and editor-in-chief of Arab American News in Michigan. He was at WEMU in Ypsilanti. And with us in the studio in Washington is Clayton Swisher, program director at the Middle East Institute here in Washington. He's also author of the book, The Truth About Camp David. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.